What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Uncensored Pro Wrestling Podcast. I am here with Anthony, who is too fucking high to do the intro today. I am also here by everybody. Introduce yourselves.
Hi!
Hey, I'm
That is
Christian.
Enigma. And here we have Christian.
I'm back at
Welcome
it
to...
again. For my
And
seventh
tonight we are
episode, let's get
covering...
it.
Tonight we are covering
This
Friday
sucks. Wait a
Smackdown.
minute. What the fuck?
Damn, bro, you're gonna interrupt me like that? I'm the host now.
You're the host is interrupting the guest. What the fuck are you happening here? Fucking Chris Jericho all the way. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what you think. That's The Rock, but you know,
that's
whatever.
The Rock. Yeah, you're right. Let's keep going.
As I was saying, tonight we are covering Friday Night SmackDown.
I can't fucking breathe.
We got too many high motherfuckers here. I apologize for this shit. We wanted to do this, and this is what we get. So, I unfortunately was thrown in the spot to start the show, but I don't know what else to do, considering normally we would start the matches, but I don't know the matches in order. So
yeah, I have the matches in order. You want me to start?
I don't know.
Yes, please.
All right, yo. All right, so... All right, so this Friday Night SmackDown took place in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at the PPG Paints Arena. It's Friday night, so we're starting the match with the Undisputed Tag Team Championship match. You know, that match has been talked about for several weeks now. You know, Monday Night Raw, we saw a really big build to this match. So that's how we're going to start the show. Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships, the Usos, Jimmy and Jay, take on the Brawling Broods, Sheamus and Butch. Sheamus got a shoulder tackle knockdown early on. Jimmy tried a hip toss on Sheamus, but Sheamus hit him with a clothesline. Sheamus with a rolling senton. Butch tagged in, and Sheamus did a rolling senton onto Jimmy. Jay managed to get the tag, leading to a jumping forearm on Butch in the corner. Butch tried to jump some offense going, but the Usos stopped that and hit a double move, sending Butch across the top rope. They went to commercial break. Before I keep going here, I kind of wish, like I talked about this on the last episode, but I wish, you know, WWE did where they, you know, did the pitcher in pitcher kind of like AEW does. But it's okay. So it was about 14 minutes into the match as Bush did some finger joint manipulations to Jay. Bush jumped off the top rope. Jay avoided it, and Jay lifted up Bush, leading into a neck breaker. Sheamus made the save for a pin attempt. Jimmy kicked Sheamus, but Sheamus hit Jimmy with a white nose slam on the apron. Jay hit Sheamus with a suicide dive forearm on the floor. Butch went to the apron and hit a moonsault to both Usos on the floor. Butch did a tornado DDT on Jay for a two count. Butch stomped on Jay's fingers, then kicked him in the side of the head. Jay with a punch. Jimmy tagged in, and Sheamus saved his partner. And then I'm just going to get to the end here where Jimmy made a blindside tag and the Usos hit the one and done on Butch for the win as Zayn held Sheamus. The referee didn't see it to prevent Sheamus from making the save, and the Usos win in about 18 minutes. This was a really good tag team match to start the show. You know, Butch and Sheamus coming close to beating the longest reigning tag team champions is pretty big. You know, I thought the Usos, you know, did their thing as usual. The finish worked. Because, you know, Sammy, I guess the Usos are a heel, so Sami Zayn, you know, interfering with the match, you know, kind of puts them in that role. And, you know, I just enjoyed the match a lot. I wasn't expecting Bush and Sheamus to take the dub in this. So, Dan, let's start with you, El Champion. What do you think about this match here?
I mean, it was definitely a good match. Nah, you didn't expect the Brawling Brutes to take the titles. I mean, the Usos are essentially taking after Roman. They're gonna be like champs for like two years, just like Roman was. You kind of expect it. It is what it is. But I'm gonna be honest. Personally, I don't see Butch and Sheamus as the greatest tag
team
either. In the world.
No, I agree 100%.
I don't know. I don't see much chemistry between them. I mean, I can see why they put them together, but it's like. I don't know.
I want to see Butch on his own as Pete Dunne again.
Yeah, I would love to see that in him, like, actually be on his own, go after like maybe the Intercontinental title, see him go after Gunther. That would be awesome. And you know, don't get me wrong, I like Sheamus, but I don't know. He's just kind of like that old veteran that like not many people care about anymore.
And I kind of feel like, you know, but Butch and what the fuck's that other dude's name? Ridge Holland. I feel like, you know, they're with Sheamus because, like you said, he is a veteran. He's there to get him over. You know, I don't see Sheamus, you know, becoming like a top singles competitor again.
The last time he held the world title was in 2015 when he beat Roman, and he only had it for like not even a month.
And he only got it really because, you know, he had that whole storyline with Triple H and the Authority and everything. Yeah. So like,
I don't know. I never really even saw him as like a world champion. I never did. Don't get me wrong; he's not a bad wrestler by any means.
No, I agree. He's more. I just don't see that main event. I think I always thought of him as a high mid carder.
Definitely, yeah.
Anthony, anything you like to say about this? Oh, sorry to cut you off, Dan.
No, you're fine. I was just gonna say again, it was a good match. Just very predictable.
Oh, absolutely. Anthony, is there anything you'd like to say about this match before we move on here? Or did you not listen to the recap?
I have one thing to say. This motherfucker cannot stop laughing for his fucking life. I'm over here crying, and I'm looking, and I laugh at every fucking thing. And I can't look at him because he makes me laugh. I just can't.
Oh my god! Then turn your camera off.
This has become a shit show, people.
Oh,
low key.
So listen. High key, bitches. This is the Uncensored Pro Wrestling Podcast. I listened to the recap. It was match of the night.
You're calling it match of the night.
Listen, I'm calling it match of the night. The Usos versus the Brawling Bridge. This match was much better than the Matt Riddle and Kevin Owens match. And I didn't think it was going to be that good because the Brawling Brutes are good. But they're Brawling Brutes. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they never win. So it's like,
that's not true. They win. They just...
Oh, War Games.
No, I mean, like, the Brawling Brutes won at Extreme Rules.
Remember? Yeah, thank you, sir.
They won. It's just, it's not like, you know, they're never going to win titles. I don't see it.
I agree with Dan on this one.
Yeah, I can just tell. But at least it wasn't like boring. Like it wasn't like there was that one point where I'm like, oh wait, maybe they might lose. So
right.
Yeah, no, I will give them that. At one point, they give that surprise factor, but the second it was over, I was like, yeah, they ain't winning.
All right, anything you want to continue, or should I keep going?
You.
All right. So Kurt Angle was shown walking backstage with fellow Olympic gold medalist Gabe Stevenson.
Did you even ask this one up here?
I'm sorry. He kind of just said he had one thing to say and talked about how he couldn't keep a straight face. So I don't know if he was going to say anything about the match. Do you have anything to say about the match, Dan?
The match, I have to say, it wasn't a boring match. There was some parts where, like, okay, they might lose, but at the same time, it's the Bloodline, and it is the Usos, but they've been undefeated for 2 years, which is kind of hard to see them lose after all what's happening.
And they're not gonna lose it on a Friday night SmackDown.
And especially not going to lose it on a non-main event show.
Right, exactly. I agree.
They're 100%. Definitely not going to lose it on a non-main event show.
I agree 100%.
If they lose it anyway, it's just going to be a massive shit on their two-year reign or whatever how long they had the titles for. But
I apologize.
510 days.
Technical difficulties.
They've had a title for 510 days. But yeah, I think
babbling about down there. What's happening with you?
All I said was I was having technical difficulties. That was really
I'm sorry, I was confused. Sorry.
But yeah, I do think you know, if they do lose the tag team titles, it will be at WrestleMania. But
the thing is, the way they built it up, like, you know, they're like, oh my god, it's the Brawling Brutes versus, Brawling Brutes versus the Usos. If you build it up, then I'm not going to be too upset by it.
Right.
As long as it's built right, like, you know, you actually advertise the match, I'm not going to be too upset. If it's just thrown together out of fucking nowhere, then yeah, I'm going to be a little pissed off. Because, like, that's kind of a diss at the Usos on their whole reign.
Right, I agree 100%.
Can I, Christian, not to interject, brother?
Go ahead, my brother.
We're not sponsored by these fuckers, but I Let's Pretzel, Chicago Pretzels.
Off topic.
No, they are good.
We're gonna get
hashtag.
No, they are good. They are good.
Hashtag.
But they're good, but that doesn't mean you have to go advertising. Free advertisement for that.
Hashtag sponsor. Hashtag ad. Hashtag.
Look, please. I would love a sponsor much as the next guy, but come on.
I'm dead. Oh my god. But so after this match, Kurt Angle was shown walking backstage with fellow Olympia gold medalist Gabe Stevenson. Just real quick. I don't know what the fuck they're planning to do with Gabe Stevenson. We saw him at WrestleMania. Well, he was like, going through something with like some girl. Like, I guess he was accused of something. I don't know.
These hoes ain't loyal.
It's weird. Braun Strowman greeted Angle and Kurt introduced Braun to Stevenson. Braun mentioned Gabe training at the Performance Center, where Braun said he can use him on SmackDown, and then they said we'll see you later coming up for Angle celebration. And real quick, John Cena will be making an appearance to WWE SmackDown on Friday, December 30th in Tampa, Florida. So they do announce that John Cena will be coming to SmackDown in 3 weeks. It's good to see Cena back. You know, it's the last SmackDown of the year. Maybe this is something, you know, to build up for the Rumble. I wish they wouldn't announce this. You know, imagine just Cena coming out randomly. That would have been a huge surprise.
Well, if they did it at the Royal Rumble, I feel like if they save it for that, then that would be really cool.
Right, and I agree with that too. I just don't think they should be announcing his return anyway. But anyway.
No, but I can see why they did it though. But
no, yeah. So let's hear from LA Knight. LA Knight said he was calling Bray Wyatt bluff for lying about how he didn't attack Knight in the past. Knight showed some footage of Knight getting attacked 3 weeks ago. There was a clip of Knight under some objects, and Knight showed the clip of some creepy mask in the background. Knight played another clip of being attacked where there was another mysterious mask in the background. There was an interruption from Uncle Howie asking, what kind of man are you, and talking about respect. Howie kept saying, do it, and phrase like he deserves to suffer were said as well. The phrase, the door is closing, ended it. They showed Knight again, saying that this was a message from Wyatt, and Knight said he's going backstage to fight Wyatt now. Not much of a segment to talk about. I don't know what they're planning to do with this. You know, if they could have done something at War Games to, you know, build up this match, because they've kind of been, you know, building this up a little bit ever since Wyatt's return. I'm very curious to see who Uncle Howie is. I think we'll be seeing him very soon, but it was some good progress in the storyline. You know, LA Knight wanted some answers, what happened to him. And I don't blame him. You know, he's getting attacked, and you know, it's a bunch of creepy things, and I think it will eventually lead to a Bray Wyatt and LA Knight match. Maybe at the Rumble, I hope so, but if not, we will definitely see it before. But what do you guys think? Let's start with you, Dan. What did you think of this segment? What do you think they're gonna do with LA Knight and Bray Wyatt here?
Personally, I'm not really enjoying the storyline too much right now, but I'm not gonna say that it doesn't have potential. I mean, LA Knight, great wrestler, so is Bray Wyatt. It's really the storytelling right now, and that's what they're going after. And I can understand why. From what I'm hearing, why it's not 100% clear to wrestle yet. That's what I'm hearing. So it's like...
I see. I wasn't aware of that fully.
Yeah, that's why he hasn't actually wrestled the match yet. That, at least from what I'm hearing, he hasn't wrestled the match because he's not fully cleared yet. But it's just like, you know, it's an interesting storyline. I'm definitely excited to see who the Wyatt Six is going to be. I'm excited to see who Uncle Howdy is. Again, interesting storyline. I just got to really wait and see to actually fully enjoy it, you know?
Hell yeah. What about you, Anthony? What do you think about this segment here, and what do you think they're going to plan to do with LA Knight and Bray Wyatt?
Does he go, yeah? Does he scream that?
What?
LA Knight.
Does he scream what?
Yeah!
I think so.
Yeah, that's why, that's why I did that when Dan started talking, because he goes, LA Knight goes, yeah, right?
He does do that. I don't know if he did it though in that segment.
So, yeah. What was the question?
Oh my god, this guy is on a
what do you
completely
think,
different universe.
What do you think about this segment? And what do you think they're planning to do with Bray Wyatt versus LA Knight? Do you think they're going to fight at the Rumble? Do you think they're going to save it for Mania? What do you think they're going to do?
Well, my title's not okay. Here we go.
He's too concerned about the fucking title. Jesus Christ.
I am the WWE pay-per-view champion, the one and only.
We don't care.
So
answer the fucking question. About
Bray Wyatt and LA Knight. I'm excited to see these two go at it. When I was at the SmackDown where LA Knight slapped him, we were like, "Oh, you dumb fucked up." We were like, "Damn, man, like you really." And then when he went up to this rope again a second time, he slapped him again. I was like, "Oh, sir, you're done."
You're high as a motherfucker.
So yeah, that's what he says. Yeah, that's how he says it. Exactly, just like that. So LA Knight's cool. He's the bomb. And Bray Wyatt, I'm very curious to know.
Oh God.
Here's my question for you guys. I feel like, and I might have asked this before, the mask and like even the opening, it's like green now. Is that different or is that something like, you know what I'm saying? Remember, like in the past, it was kind of like a different color. Now it's like more greenish.
Right. I'm curious to see what, because again, we know Alexa Bliss has to be involved in this somehow, right?
Well, yeah, because technically every time she comes on screen, the Wyatt.
Exactly my point. So Alexa Bliss has to be involved with this at something. The thing about this storyline and why it's so good is, like, when you ask me, like, I genuinely don't know, because it's confusing to me, because, you know, We hear Bray Wyatt coming back, and we think, you know, he wants to rebuild his character, because, and I wasn't saying anything about the Fiend that it was bad. It was just that whole friendly fire thing was bullshit.
Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah, whatever. That's how much that I was bullshit. Shit about it. That was stupid. So
I
beg to
disagree. I actually thought he was a very interesting character.
Why? Tell me why you think that. Because it wasn't scary. Because the only reason I'm gonna disagree with you is because we know Bray Wyatt's scary. We know he likes to do all these crazy, you know. And I feel like that was just, I don't know, that this Fiend character was that, but that friendly fire shit just wasn't that. But I want to hear what you say about it, though.
I mean, my personal opinion is just like, I like the way Bray Wyatt, like, every time he does something new. It's not like it's never been done before.
Right.
Like, sure, people said the original Bray Wyatt was close to The Undertaker, but it wasn't 100% like, oh, we've definitely seen this before. It was still something different. We've never seen a weird kid show host. We've never seen that before.
Hey, Daniel, sorry to interrupt, but... I'm saying, if I can get the fucking thing out of the bag. This video is sponsored by McDonald's. I just want to say, hashtag ad.
What?
Hashtag
Jesus ad. Christ. Stop. That's not funny. I'm trying to talk.
Yo, right. I fucking love Brett.
McDonald's.
But
I apologize for them, folks. They are way too fucking high to do this video. I don't even know why they're there.
I'm not too high to do the video. I'm wrong with it.
No, you're
slurring your words like you're drunk, dude.
But I'm sorry, I'm not so educated. Like,
anyways, back to what I was saying on Bray Wyatt. I liked the idea that he's a mentally insane person. I feel like technically, in a way, you could even combine each little gimmick and say he's just a mentally unstable person, and Uncle Howdy is like that, like his mind telling him, giving him different personalities and everything. That's just like my personal view on it. It's a very interesting character.
No, it is. I feel like everything Bray Wyatt does, you know, it's interesting in its own way. I like I said, I personally thought that was boring, but it was still interesting, because like you said, no one's done that before, so it's interesting. Other Dan, do you have anything to say about
LA Knight? Enigma? Wait. Hi. I think Enigma is like, what are you, like the sixth member of the Wyatt? Was it the Wyatt Six? Is that what Dan's calling it?
The Wyatt Six. Yes, it's called the Wyatt Six.
The Wyatt Six. So Enigma, how do you feel with the whole background and everything? It's very cool. It's giving me Wyatt Six vibe.
How do you feel, sir?
He's too busy eating.
I'm not fully interested in it yet. because there hasn't been no like action in it. There's just been like what for what I heard and seen is just them being in the ring. That's and then
oh, yeah,
I mean, but that's
I
not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes you have to drag it out. Sometimes you want like you want to make people want to be like, oh man, Wyatt's actually gonna wrestle now. This is gonna be so cool. Like sometimes you want to do it. I'm not saying anything against LA Knight. I just don't think he's a big enough star yet to like. For someone to return and immediately go after them specifically. Like, if he did it against, like, someone like AJ Styles or fucking Seth Rollins or somebody, I feel like it could have made it a little more interesting other than LA Knight. Again, nothing against the dude. Amazing wrestler. Very talented. Just not the person I expected to start off feuding with Wyatt.
The person I was expecting. And I'm just... The only thing I will say real quick before we do take our first break is, you know, I'm happy LA Knight's not that bullshit Max Dupree shit anymore. But before we do take our first break, I do want to say they showed a clip of in the parking lot of Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler attacking Shotzi by using a car door. Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler were interviewed by Megan Morin, who asked if they have taken it a little too far outside of the ring. Baszler said maybe Shotzi fell. Rousey said that. Rousey said to tell the China shop that the Bulls are coming. Liv and Tegan Knox, interrupted them saying that Rousey and Baszler have beaten everybody except them. I just want to say they continue to book Rousey and Baszler as, you know, these tough girls who think they're so mean and bad. But in reality, I've stated this before, Ronda Rousey does not interest in me. She's a terrible champion. I want to see Baszler and her fight for the championship. I will think it's going to happen soon. Liv Morgan and Tegan Knox are just, you know, likable faces that get over with the crowd, so there's nothing really special about them. But real quick, Dan, before we take our first break, how do you feel about Rousey and Baszler, and what do you think's next for them?
I mean, they could have been interesting maybe when Ronda Rousey first joined the company. Now that she's, like, you know, now that she's back, she's women's champion yet again, like, we fucking need it. I'm not personally a big fan of it. I don't like her. Like I said, I agree with you. I want to see them fight for the championship. That would at least be an entertaining match because, you know, UFC background and all that. But I don't know. I didn't like the whole Ronda Rousey versus Liv Morgan feud. If you ask me, Liv Morgan should still be champion. Shouldn't be Ronda Rousey.
I agree with you 100%. Well, we are going to take our first break here, but when we come back, I'm going to be asking my brother Anthony and Dan Enigma.
I can go fuck myself, I guess. And me and Dan are going to go fuck ourselves.
Well, we have like 45 seconds, so that's why.
And let these two finish the show.
No, you're not going to go do that.
And I'm pretty sure it's going to be as fun with Amos.
Oh my god, Anthony, you're fucking awesome.
Y'all doing this? Fucking Bullet Club?
Fucking Bullet Club, yeah.
Yes.
We're just literally waiting for this thing to end now, aren't we?
I'm so hungry. I'm sorry, but I'm so hungry.
Yeah, you've been eating and chomping.
Oh, I forgot I didn't press stop recording. Oh, sorry, guys. All right, yeah.
Oh, my God. You didn't notice.
We'll be back. Well, I don't fucking know.
What's up, guys? We are the Uncensored Pro Wrestling Podcast, and we are back here. So before we took our first break, I was talking about, you know, what I think is going to happen between Rousey and Shayna Baszler coming up. And I mentioned that, you know, I think Rousey and Baszler are going to fight for the SmackDown title. And we heard from El Champion himself. So
El
Anthony,
Champion.
Whatever the fuck. I can't. I El love.
You can't even pronounce names. You called him Uncle Howdy or something.
Uncle Howie. Howdy. It was Uncle Howie he was calling. You were calling him Uncle Howie, brother. And I was high and I noticed that. And
no
I
way.
Friend, but yes, it was Uncle
Jesus
Howie.
Christ.
Or no, yesterday was Stevie Blackman. That was fun.
Listen, my friend called it Stevie. He asked me, Blackman. Do you know who Stevie Blackman is? I was like, Steve Blackman? And so that got stuck in my head because he said that. But Anthony, what do you think's gonna happen between Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey coming up? Do you think they're gonna go at it for each other at Royal Rumble? Do you think maybe Shayna Baszler wins the Royal Rumble and then fights Rousey at Mania? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be we're gonna get Ronda versus Raquel at Rumble, And then I think
yeah,
we're
oh
gonna,
wait, I'm, yeah, that's yeah, that's gonna
we're
happen.
probably gonna get that. And then I feel like we're gonna get for Mania, we're probably gonna get Ronda versus Charlotte, or because I have a good feeling we're probably gonna.
I hope they don't do that shit. I remember they were gonna do that shit for WrestleMania 35, and then they're like, oh no, we gotta add Becky Lynch because otherwise people are gonna be pissed and they ain't gonna wanna watch that shit.
I'm weird as spot, but.
Like, all I'm saying is they better not do Ronda versus Charlotte because I'm sorry, I ain't watching that.
Charlotte's an ugly whore.
I wouldn't have gone that far, but
she's
okay,
an ugly married whore. Don't be mean. She's married.
But she's a whore. So yeah. So Dan, Zach, what do you think? You know, what
they
do you
call
think?
Me the Enigma.
Enigma. Whatever, Enigma. Is that what you
whatever?
Want me to call
just
you?
Answer his damn question.
Okay, Enigma. What do you think is gonna happen between Rousey and Baszler?
But you can't call him champ.
How are you feeling about Rousey and Baszler? What are your opinions on them?
Right now, not really the best of opinions, but I do believe they're definitely gonna fight. They're gonna probably in the next coming weeks or possibly months. But and if I would see Shayna Baszler and Ronda fight, it'll be at WrestleMania. Because I definitely do not want to see Charlotte versus Ronda.
No, I agree with you. I don't either. You know, I feel like we've seen that a little too much
also,
this year.
Also, I want to say one thing. And,
go ahead.
You know how you said you're champion? I think we need to give him a drug test because I don't think he's going past it right now, meaning we'd have to strip him of the title.
Oh, he had to
just
be, yeah, the title would have to be vacated.
I love how they're
title
willing.
Would have to be vacated.
I love how
the Hardy fan here. And Daniel, you used to say that to me.
You're the Hardy fan here. Have you seen him in person?
Yes, actually, I have.
Okay.
Where's the thing? He's just the hater down there, the one below me. You know what I'm gonna do?
Anthony,
what I'm gonna
if
do.
You don't shut your Italian pizza and freaking spaghetti eating ass up, and
except he doesn't eat the sauce on the.
He doesn't like sauce. Yeah, you're not a sauce guy.
Mm-mm. Listen, y'all, except for Christian, because Christian has been nice to me. Thank you, sir. Everyone else can go fuck themselves, because here's the deal. Y'all are just mad that I am the pay-per-view champion. You have your opportunity.
All I'm saying is you're being my
problem. Guess what? You have your shot. Here's what I think. I think this. Thank you, sir. Go ahead, Christian.
No, so... All I'm saying was it was announced, you know, Roman Reigns is returning next week to Chicago,
oh my
where
God.
They are taping the December 23rd episode of SmackDown that night, too. So we're going to be seeing the Tribal Chief. You guys excited to see the Tribal Chief next week?
It's Tribal Queef, but no, I'm really not. I'm
Anthony,
tired of
what about you? Are you excited to see the Tribal Chief next week?
You know, competition's always good to look at, you know. Not better than the WWE pay-per-view champion. I come on every single night. I broadcast. I go on live. I perform. Roman Reigns is not here every night doing it. He shows up every once in a while. So when he gets on my level, then I will acknowledge him. However, until then, I just think it's, you know, I'm excited to see him when I see him, I guess. And what is this one down there talking about? Because
well,
I don't
yeah,
see
Dan,
nothing.
What,
I just hear his lips moving.
Dan, what about you? Are you excited to see the Tribal Chief?
You're on
no,
mute.
Guys.
You're
I'm
on
a
mute.
Big fan of Ant. Ant's the man. Ant is the one who is the pay-per-view champion.
How the hell did that happen? I did not put my shit on mute. But
Anthony,
what
did.
I was saying was that, yes, I am excited to see the Tribal Chief. But at the same time, what I was saying, as Anthony was going on about how Roman Reigns isn't on his level. He's been doing it for two damn straight years as champion. I don't see you holding on that shit for two straight years. What I see is you holding on to it for another month at most, and
well,
then it'll go around my shoulder.
See,
yeah, it's going to go around my shoulder. Let's get that very clear. But anyway, so we're going to see the Tribal Chief next week. But the next match of the night was a tag team match between the Viking Raiders, Eric and Ivar versus... I'm Spanish, but I'm going to fuck this up. Legado del Fantasma
Legado Duff and Pasmo.
Yeah, whatever, you know. They showed some recent Viking Raider attacks. You know, Zelina Vega was on commentary. I'm happy she's back doing her thing. I've always really liked Zelina Vega when she was Andrade's manager. So it's she's good that she's back in the business. They are both heel tag teams. So it's kind of, you know, who do you cheer for at this point? But Eric with the shoulder tackle and a knee out to the gut. You know, Ivar with the shoulder tackle. Eric back in with the shoulder tackle again. And I'm gonna fuck this up, but who's that dude from fucking Wilde? I can't even pronounce it. I can't pronounce any of these guys' names. Juan Wilde. The dude that it's Santos Escobar's Lena Vega.
Oh, Joaquin Wilde and something Del Toro.
Yes. Okay. So Eric ran over. I'm going to say W with a forearm attack, and then Hit Row's music played as B-Fab walked out with a steel chair as she sat on it with the aisle on top of the aisle, and then Top Dollar and Ashante took out Escobar and Del Toro. The match was thrown out after 2 minutes, and the match ended in a no contest. I just think this was a stupid quick match that really, you know, didn't go anywhere. You know, I feel like Hit Row's been booked like shit since they've come back, and I'm a really big fan of Hit Row, so I want to see them, you know, get more involved with like the tag team. I feel like, you know, they're doing more of like the talking behind the scenes, shit. So, you know, it's just a quick match. It's not gonna go anywhere. You know, these two teams aren't interesting, and they're both heels anyway. But you know, this was just something just to add in for time, but. What do you guys think of this match, and what do you guys think of Hit Row?
I mean, I like Hit Row. They are definitely a good tag team, but I will agree with you on they're not being booked very correctly.
And they're entertaining, yeah. Too.
Yeah, they are. It's just they're not being booked right. That's the problem.
I mean, complaint.
Again, it was a good match. It was just more for filler. That's really all it felt like, and that's all it ever will be, honestly.
Technical difficulty.
Sorry, Anthony. What were you saying?
Oh, thank you, sir. Acknowledge the champion. So
screw the fucking champion. I'm sorry.
So I feel one complaint I have about this whole thing is they made Valhalla look really weak, and I think this is like the third time we've seen her, and she's supposed to be like a dominant ass bitch, and to be attacked by B-Fab and like that's it. Like, it didn't really make me believe in her character so much. So I think it would have been fine if B-Fab attacked Zelina, because Zelina's not supposed to be this like weird mystical Viking warrior princess person thing. So to see B-Fab like take out Valhalla, just like, all right, you're praying to the gods for what?
No, right, and I definitely agree. I just would like to see, you know, Hit Row get booked a little bit better. Enigma, what do you think of Hit Row? Do you think they've been booked good? What do you hope to see from them?
I hope to see good things from them, and that's all I'm going to say for right now. Because
keep it short and steady. I like it. Oh, were you going to say something? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, dude.
No, you're good.
Because you said because, so I thought you had to keep going. But okay, so LA Knight was shown walking backstage. LA Knight went into his locker room and found a Bray Wyatt T-shirt on top of his hanger, and then the lights went out and there was a guy standing behind LA Knight with the mask on, and the scene ends. The mystery continues. Again, Bray Wyatt is no longer shown on camera. So I don't know. I just wanted to put that out there, because again, mystery continues, and they're just leaving us with a bunch of cliffhangers. So
yeah, I thought we were gonna see more too later, but I don't know, guys. I think I don't know why my title keeps fucking getting taken away. I think sorry, there we go. I think that it's interesting, but I wanna get some answers soon. Not everything. I don't wanna know every single thing to it, but you know, who else is a part of this group? Why is Uncle Howdy like crying? Why is there like, you know, the different looking mask? It looks as if like this. I have a question for you guys. So my initial thought was, well, what if this becomes like, this is like Bray in his head? But what I'm looking at is Bray is trying to tell everybody and trying to tell LA Knight, like, look, this isn't me. Like, these people that are attacking you, like, it's not. And in every scene we see LA Knight, none of it has any implication of it being Bray. It's just these random masks. So what if this isn't a fragment of Bray's mind? What if this is another group that's trying to get WWE Universe, whatever, to dislike Bray? Because their thing is, don't listen to him, don't believe him, he's lying. Bray's like, listen, if it was me, you know, you would know it's not. But you've pretty much, I see what you're awakening, and it's not good. I feel like Bray is just watching the cookie crumble. And I think if this group is going to be a group that wants to get back at Bray for something, I don't know why, but maybe it's like an Alexa Bliss. Like, look at what happened to her. You know, didn't she have to burn him or something? Like, anyways.
So what you're saying essentially is that maybe the Wyatt Six isn't exactly with Wyatt. They're against him.
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's an interesting idea. But no, I don't know. Because, like, if Alexa Bliss is a part of this, the last thing Alexa Bliss was a part of with Bray Wyatt was she did technically cause Bray the match kind of at WrestleMania, because, like, she appeared or something and, like, it kind of, like, fucked him up. I don't really remember too much about it. But I don't know. It's an interesting idea on what you're going on.
Just because it's not anytime it comes on, like, nothing good happens to him. He just is left confused, and then people get hurt, you know? And it's like, he's just trying to just be like, yo, like, you're messing with the wrong group here. Like, I think he knows who it is. I think that's the whole thing. I think he knows who Uncle Howdy is. He knows what this group is all about. And I think he's just, like, telling everybody, like, listen, I'm a good guy. I've done some fucked up shit, but you're going to awaken something really bad, and it's this group, I think. But anyways, go ahead.
No, that's it. I just...
Scissor me, daddy ass.
The mystery just continues, and I'm tired of getting these little hints. I just want to see what they're going to do with it. But I do want to talk about the next segment here, because I thought this was pretty good, and it was the contract signing for the Intercontinental Championship match. Ricochet made his entrance. They showed a replay of last week when Ricochet won the SmackDown World Cup, leading to the stare down with the Intercontinental Champion Gunther to end the show. Gunther was up next along the apron with members Lou with Kate. Sorry if I can't pronounce these dudes, like
Ludwig Kaiser
and Giovanni.
Giovanni Vinci.
Okay, that I can pronounce. Giovanni Vinci. Gunther defends the Intercontinental Championship against Ricochet next week on SmackDown. There was a table in the ring along with two chairs while WWE official Adam Pearce was in the ring to, you know, monitor the contract signing. The New Day's music hit and they interrupted before the contract signing. The New Day's Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods talk about how, you know, they're here because of their boy, make sure Ricochet doesn't get jumped. They're basically there to make the odds even, 3-on-3, backing up Ricochet. Xavier Woods, you know, goes on to talk about how they have their NXT title match coming up Saturday at NXT Deadline, which they already won. But Woods said that they're going to have Ricochet's back, and then Adam Pearce asks if they really think a brawl is going to happen, and then Xavier Woods says, have you ever watched wrestling? Adam Pearce says, good point. Gunther told Ricochet that he is the one that took the title off Ricochet. Gunther said he beat Ricochet twice to prove he's not worthy of being Intercontinental Championship, and Gunther will beat Ricochet. I'm sorry, Gunther will beat Ricochet again. Gunther said that they respect this sport. They are professional wrestlers, and they said we are not performers. Wow. Good thing. I'm happy, you know, we're finally hearing the words professional wrestling back on WWE.
Yep.
But Ricochet told Gunther that he will not quit. Ricochet said he'll take the Intercontinental Championship on his shoulder. Then a brawl started with Adam Pearce calling out for the referee. And then we get ourselves a six-man tag match. Before I get into the six-man tag match, what did you guys think of the contract signing? Because Is Gunther and Ricochet, you know, going at it again? Is it another match that you guys would like to see? And I'm going to start with you, Anthony. What did you like this segment? And are you excited to see, you know, an Intercontinental Championship rematch between Gunther and Ricochet?
Well, I'm over New Day getting involved with Imperium. So I think with them being champions up for NXT, that's going to stop. I didn't really care. I fast forward this one. I like Imperium, but I'm just excited just to see next week. This is just a little sort of snippet for what we're going to see next week. But it was decent, you know, from what I saw of what I saw, it was okay. I just, you know, nothing new for me. But I do think, you know, good to see Ricochet. Ricochet is a beast in the
hell league. Yeah, I love Ricochet. What about you, Dan? What do you think about Ricochet? How do you feel about, you know, another match between him and Gunther for the IC title?
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong, the last two matches were all right. You know, they weren't the greatest or anything, but I think the second was better than the first. Yeah, I definitely think they could put on a good match. I'm not too excited. I don't know. Gunther's reign with Intercontinental Championship hasn't been too good, if you ask me.
I agree. He's a dominant performer. Could have been
so much better, but it is what it is. I mean, if Ricochet takes the title, okay. If he doesn't, what's next for him? I mean, yeah, I'm sorry, but WWE hasn't done anything right with the guy. I mean, he's won the United States and he's won the Intercontinental title, but like, he hasn't done much with either belt. He's never had a good reign with any of them. He's never been in such a memorable storyline. It's honestly sad in my opinion, because like, he's such a talented wrestler. He could do so much. But
I agree.
I mean,
he didn't even have a match at Mania last year when he was the IC champion. Like, what?
Plus the New Day thing. I'm confused on why the New Day is specific. Like, don't get me wrong, I think it's a good idea, but I don't get why the New Day is specifically coming out here to help Ricochet. Like, what connection do they have? Or are they just doing it because they don't like Imperium? What specifically is up with that idea? That's just my only thing on that.
I agree 100%. The only reason I could see, you know, the New Day coming is, you know, again for from backup, or again, like you mentioned, they really don't, they're not involved with this, so it doesn't make sense. Enigma, what about you, man? How do you feel about Gunther versus Ricochet?
They could put on a good match, like Dan said. They could put on a good match. I'm not saying they can't, but again, like, do we need this again?
No, I can agree with you on that one.
Matches. I think they could definitely.
They weren't bad matches, but I can agree on that. Do we really need this again?
Like they weren't bad matches, but like again, like do we need this again? Because like the whole thing with Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, like they thought three times and three pay per views in a row.
And Cody won all of them. I don't want to see that again. I didn't want to see it the third time.
We didn't.
Here's the thing with that. That was actually good. Here's the thing. Yeah. That was each match at one after another was just a banger after banger after banger.
And they're two of the top performers in the company.
They were top performers. Yeah. Like, none of these people were top performers. Ricochet, I would say, can pull off a top performer because I love Ricochet. Gunther, like, after they changed his name or anything, like, and all of that, like, overall has not been good, in my opinion. Like Kristen said, he had last year for WrestleMania, he didn't even have a match.
And he was the fucking Intercontinental Champion.
I mean, okay, but you also have to look at it like this. They did the same thing for so many others. WrestleMania 33, Dean Ambrose was literally on the pre-show.
The next year. Okay, but 33, yes, they did that. But the next year in 34, they defended the United States Championship and the Intercontinental Championship, and both the matches were fucking the best matches of the night, in my opinion.
I'm just saying, yes, I will agree that it shouldn't have happened, but I'm saying this isn't the first time.
I agree 100%. And it sucks. It sucks. Because I feel like you're the Intercontinental Champion, right? You are a champion in the WWE. You're a mid-card champion, but you are a champion. You should.
And at the same time,
that
championship a long time ago, back in like the 90s,
meant everything.
That was the workhorse title.
Exactly.
That was everything to you.
And I can say one thing. Intercontinental has not been like a good title.
The United States Championship's literally the number one title in the company right now.
Yes, I know. And that's also a thing a lot of people.
I love the passion.
But the last time the Intercontinental to me has been good is when the Miz held it.
I will agree with that. I will.
Yes, I will agree on that with you too.
That's the only time I last remember the IC title being relevant.
And that was back when it was a white strap. It's been the black strap for like 3-4 years now.
Like gold plating. It was sleek. It was nice. It was good looking. But now it's like, now it looks like a fucking shooting star. Like,
it's not even just the look. It's just more of the meaning of the title. Like,
yeah, it's also that. I don't really like the new. I don't like.
You brought a really good point about the Miz, because
also like the matches they had, like the matches they had with that title over the years, they have not been good at all.
No, absolutely.
Well, yeah, but also at the same time, you got to think about it like this: the white Intercontinental title represented the history of the belt, because it used to look like that back in the '90s. It represented the history. Now it's just like every other title in the WWE. It's black strap with the bronze. It's the same shit every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're good. You're good. I agree. And good point Enigma brought up, man. Like the Miz. I agree. The last time I do think the Intercontinental Championship, you know, had a real meaning behind it was the Miz, because
Go ahead. Also, like the Miz and the feuds he had with that title, like
exactly. Ambrose, no,
with all them, he made that title.
And Ziggler, like, exactly.
He put a title on that belt.
Him and Ziggler,
Like
I feel like with Gunther as champion, you know, we see him. It's good that we see him on TV every week, but you know, like you said, I feel like the Miz, you know. Really,
yeah,
he defended the title. He showed the title on TV every week. So yeah, that I think the Intercontinental Championship, you know, should get a better recognition. But you know, we go on to the 3-6-man tag team match between, Gunther, Kayser, and Giovanni Vinci. I can't pronounce these fucking German
people. Like one more thing about that. Like I feel bad for Ricochet. Because, like, he's such a good talent, but he's being used so wrongly.
I felt like
it's
that.
Not the first time that WWE's done this with its talent.
Like, I agree. There's
some talent that deserved the much better than what they're getting in the company.
No,
I will agree 100%.
Good points all around. But, yeah, we got that. And then they're taking on Ricochet, Xavier Woods, and Kofi Kingston. Just some quick notes about this match. This match was very, very long. I didn't think it really needed to be this long, but the heels were in control. You know, Giovanni hit a backbreaker on Woods. Gunther tagged in using his feet to twist Xavier Woods' neck, and then Gunther knocked down Ricochet off the apron. Gunther hit a running splash on Woods. Kayser tagged in with an armbar on Woods. Then Kayser hit a forearm and a jumping kick. Woods tried to fight out to the heel corner, but Kayser hit Woods with a hard chop and punches. And then there was a commercial break where Kofi broke free with a back body drop on Kayser. Ricochet tagged in against Gunther as a preview for next week. Gunther hit a massive chop to the chest, followed by a boot to the face. Ricochet with a step up, interjuzi kick. That's how the announcers pronounced it. With a running knee, Ricochet with punches, and the referee pulled Ricochet back. And then Ricochet went up to the top rope, hitting a shooting star press for the pinfall, and this match lasted 20 minutes. Like I said, this match was really, really long. I know they like to give these type of matches a lot, but I don't think they need to go nearly as long as it did. Kind of dragged out a bit, but it's still good action. I mean, you know, we got six really good talents. I don't want to say mid-card, but, you know, six high-level mid-card talents all working together. So it was a good match. You know, I think they can try to get more people on the show just to have these matches short a little bit. But what did you guys think with this? And I'm going to start with you, Enigma, this time. What did you think about this match? Did you think it was long? Did you think it was entertaining?
Hey, who's going, me?
Yeah, you. What'd you think about this match?
No, the other Enigma.
I'm starting with you this time, because I feel I've started with everyone else but you. So I'm gonna start with you this time.
I need you to completely say it all that. I got lost in my own thought.
No, you're good. You're good. You're good. I get it. You probably didn't expect that I was gonna ask you first. But did you think, you know, this match between, you know, Ricochet, the New Day, Gunther, do you think it really had to go this long, you know, considering the fact that we do see them on TV every week and, you know, there's some other talent, you know, maybe that could be on that time?
No, I don't think it should have gone that long at all. I'd maybe like a solid, like maybe like 10 to 15 minute match max.
I agree. Not fucking 20.
It should have not have gone in 20 minutes. And like, it wasn't like a bad match at all either. Like, but like, in my opinion, it shouldn't have gone that long. In my opinion, on the new day, they need to change up some. Like, they've been around
Biggie. I think they need Biggie, man.
They definitely need Biggie back because he was the.
It's not Big E's fault. He's still dealing.
No, I know.
But I know that. But like Big E with the New Day was like Roman Reigns, the powerhouse of the Shield. Like he's like a big part of it.
Okay, but at the same time, you're comparing them to the Shield. But at the same time, Seth and Dean were great together. I'm not saying they're a bad tag team at all.
But Dan, I'm not saying they're a bad tag team at all. I'm saying like they need a new because they've been mostly baby faces, right? Or they've been always a baby face.
Yeah, they were here when they first started. Yeah,
when they first started.
So like I believe maybe a face turn for the New Day.
Like, but, I honestly, I feel it still works. The issue is they're still not just booking the team right, and plus they're not focusing that much on the tag division. All they're really doing is focusing on the Usos and who they can fight next. Who are they going to put the title on? Or are they going to win? No, they're obviously not. But are they going to win? You know, it's like they're building the whole SmackDown brand and like just the Raw title, like tag titles and the main world titles, they're all just basing it on the bloodline. And that's what you don't want to do because then it's like the tag team division loses meaning, and then the whole world division, world title division loses fucking meaning. It doesn't mean anything,
right?
All the titles are on the same people for so damn long.
So long.
I mean, this is why they don't do fucking 7-year reigns like they did with Bruno Sammartino, because they don't do that anymore. Right. That's why. I mean, I'm not saying throw the title at everybody like five every minute, but I'm saying don't have it be like for a second title.
Right.
And then have them hold every damn title. That's,
real quick,
that's
before we take our second break here, Anthony, what did you think of this 6-man title match here? And did you think it had to be this long? What did you think about the match here, kid? Not kidding, even though you're way older than me, but I'm big guy today, so.
I'm big dog.
What's that shirt say? What is it? Acknowledge daddy. There you go.
Acknowledge your daddy. What did you think about this match, man? Are you excited to see Ricochet versus Gunther? How did you feel about the New Day being involved? What did you think?
Well, I just hope that the New Day is going to stick to NXT for a little bit, give them something new to do. Gunther and Ricochet, I'm excited to see. Maybe one last time. Maybe they'll, you know, I don't know. I think he got injured last time, Ricochet, right? So I think that this is a chance to prove that maybe he's got a shot against Gunther. So I guess I'm excited.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm excited. I can't wait. We're going to take our second break of the day. But when we come back, we're going to talk about Liv Morgan and Tegan Nox versus Rousey and Baszler.
Yeah, very excited for that one. All right, we'll be back, folks. Very intense. We'll be back. Yo, so do not adjust your sets if you are watching this on YouTube. We are in completely different attire because we are recording at a different time. I'm a bit more sobered up, which is really good. I'm still your pay-per-view champion. I'm Anthony, and that is still. Introduce yourself, sir.
I'm still Christian, and we're still here talking about Friday Night SmackDown from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Shitsburg, right?
No, never that. Don't call it that.
I'm joking. I better watch out for Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, man.
Yeah, facts. She might say something. I call it Britsburg if I don't call it Pittsburgh. I'll take the Britsburg.
I'll call it Britsburg.
I like Britsburg. I like that name.
Britt Baker is attractive, but in a unique way.
She's awesome, man. I love her character. I love everything about Britt Baker. She's so
dope. What would you do if Britt Baker was like, Christian, can you give me your number?
Well, my favorite wrestler ever, my time is Adam Cole. So I don't want him to fucking, you know, give me a pin.
Adam Cole was like, cool. He was cool with it.
I mean, yeah, I'd give her my fucking
number. I'd give her my fucking number only if Adam Cole. I'd be like, fuck Adam Cole. Hell yeah. She wants my
Adam
number.
Adam Cole, baby. Nah, Britt Baker's
dope. You know it's all about the boom.
She's dope. She's dope. I love Adam Cole.
Adam Cole, baby.
Adam Cole's awesome. Adam Cole, you're my idol, dude. Seriously.
You know it's all about the bone.
I hope he's not. I hope his concussion isn't a career-ending one. There's talks about how he might not be able to wrestle again, and I will get heartbroken.
Me too.
I've been watching Adam Cole since Ring of Honor.
I really like Adam Cole.
Adam Cole. Just because he's from 45 minutes away from where I'm from, but like I love him.
No, I respect him. He's a really good wrestler.
Our high schools were rivals. Respect to Adam Cole.
Yeah.
Respect to Adam Cole, baby.
You're like, we were rivals. What? What, bitch?
Same thing with Swerve. Swerve Strickland.
Yes.
He's from the same area as Adam Cole. So that's why I like Swerve, too. I like Swerve. But we're talking about WWE, not AEW. I will be covering AEW another day.
Swerve Strickland had a decent match at Ring of Honor, but
it wasn't anything special. Was just, I don't know why they threw that tag team match in
but,
there.
Well, because
they already had the tag team championships on the line.
I never saw Shane Taylor before, so I was happy to see him. But anyways, he's a big dude. You don't like him?
He is a no. He's a big dude, but nah.
We'll talk when we do the Ring of Honor. All right. So we were talking about Tegan Nox and Liv Morgan taking on the SmackDown Women's Champion Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. I didn't watch this one because, you know, who cares, right?
Right.
But I will tell you how it ended. Raquel Gonzalez came. Is that her name or is it Rodriguez? It's Gonzalez.
Rodriguez.
Okay. Well, whatever the fuck it is. Raquel Rodriguez comes down and Big Mommy Cool comes down and she confronts Ronda Rousey. And while that's happening, Tegan Nox nails a shiniest wizard to Shayna Baszler to get the victory and the win. What do you think about it looks like Raquel is going to go up against Ronda at Royal Rumble.
Right.
That's what all I care about with this match. What do you think?
I agree. That's kind of all I cared about with this match as well. The only thing it was kind of shocking, you know, it's rare to see Rousey lose a match in WWE. Like I know we saw Alexa Bliss cash in on her a couple years ago, but and she did lose the main event match at WrestleMania. But other than that, it's really rare for Rousey to lose in WWE. So that was kind of a shock to me. You know, Tegan Nox got her first win back in WWE. Like you said, the plan is to have Raquel challenge Ronda at the Rumble. So, you know, that's why they're doing the injury shit. But she'll be ready for the Rumble. So nothing special about this match. You know, Tegan Nox first match back in WWE. Get her over a little bit and just set up Raquel versus Ronda at the Rumble and hopefully the build up to that will be good from here on out.
We'll see, dude. We'll see. Got a couple weeks. So I'm gonna cover this quick because again, this is something that I kind of watched, kind of didn't. It is Kurt Angle's celebration, his birthday celebration, and you know he's talking obviously about his accolades and everything. And he's interrupted by the Alpha Academy. And basically, they just shit-talk Kurt Angle. And then Kurt Angle goes backstage, and he brings out Gable Stevenson alongside... Well, he comes out inside, like, a dairy cart truck. And bringing it back to September 2001, or August, one of those months, they take out the milk... I guess, and they spray the shit out of Alpha Academy with milk.
Yeah, I watched it.
Tribute to Kurt Angle. So, what did you think? You watched all of it.
I did watch it. There's just nothing really much to be said. It was just a fun way to end a good show. You know, we're in Kurt Angle's hometown. It's his birthday. Maybe they should have done it at the beginning of the show, but you know, fun way to end it, I guess. You know, it doesn't have any storylines or anything like that. You know, it's just a funny thing for Kurt Angle to do on his birthday. You know, it's cool they're bringing back, you know, some old WWE, you know, segments with, I'm talking about the milk. You know, that's always a classic, but I'm not sure a lot of fans will remember as much as like we do, but you know, I think it'd be cool to see maybe Kurt Angle, you know, be like a mentor, coach, manager, role to Stevelson, which is fine.
Wait, what do you call him?
Stevenson.
Okay, sick.
Gable Stevenson.
Sick.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, and another thing is,
I love picking your balls, by the way, just so you know.
No, you're good. The only thing is, about Stevenson is we haven't seen him much, so, hopefully he'll start on NXT. I don't think he should start on the main roster right away.
Yeah.
But I do want him, you know, I do hope, how do I say this? Cause he's a real, real wrestler. So like, I kind of want to see what he could develop. And I think, you know, him being in a gold medalist like Kurt Angle would be, you know, obviously the perfect mentor. And one thing that also catches my eye is maybe in the long term, maybe it sets up something to do with Gable, because we know the last time Kurt Angle came on WWE, you know, he was also interrupted by the Alpha Academy. So maybe they're planning something in the long run for Angle, Stevenson, Gable.
That'd be really interesting, because I really like Chad Gable. And I do agree with you. I want to see Gable Stevenson on NXT.
Right.
I'm a big Kurt Angle fan. Check out our Broken Skull session series recap. Kurt Angle, he went all in. He talked a lot. I love Kurt Angle.
I love Kurt Angle.
Randy Orton's wife is attractive, but there's something about Kurt Angle's wife, and she's not the prettiest woman. I think she is just beautiful. There is something about her. Have you ever seen her?
Kurt Angle's wife?
Yes.
Yeah, she has a podcast.
Oh my God.
Her and Orton's wife have a podcast.
I'm so drawn to her. I don't know what it is, but anyways, I'm sorry. Sorry, Kurt. You are the bomb. So let's move on before I fucking get like in trouble for this. Christian, really quick, so we can wrap up. We have less than a minute. What was your moment of the night?
My moment of the night was probably the tag team title match, because, you know, probably the biggest stars on SmackDown besides Roman Reigns on the show start off the match. So I'm just gonna keep it short. I thought the opening match was the best match of the night, best moment of the night.
Me too. I agree. Tag match was the best. Christian, as always, thank you for keeping the show adrift while I was in the moment. I appreciate
it. No, man,
you,
no problem. No problem.
You rock. I appreciate everyone for coming on. Thank you for listening. We will be back with AEW Dynamite and much more. Stay tuned. Bye, y'all.